Log Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, thank you. You've tuned in to Smoke News Radio, episode number 60. And everything looks like it's connected right here, so I think we can go. Tonight we're going to be looking at a lot of marijuana and taxes. Who's got their hands in the cookie jar tonight? My name is Jason Brodsky. I'm your host on this wild ride of marijuana taxation, because everyone knows there's money in it, and they want some of it. So let's go on this wild ride here. I think everything is good on this side. Let's click onto this thing. Beautiful, beautiful. All right, let's continue. First, on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, from BozemanDailyChronicle.com. Study predicts recreational marijuana could raise millions in tax revenue. In Montana. Written by Melissa Loveridge. If Montana voters approve the ballot initiative that legalized recreational marijuana this November, it could raise between $43.4 and $52 million in tax revenue for the state. That's according to a new report by the Bureau of Business and Economic Research, or BBER, authored by Director Patrick Barkey and Associate Director Robert Sonora, found that legalized recreational marijuana could bring over $236 million in tax revenue for Montana in the 5 years between 2022 and 2026. The total market sales for retail marijuana, if legalized, could be as much as $217 million in 2022 and increase to $260 million in 2026. These figures follow trends set by other states that have legalized the marijuana. The report was commissioned by New Approach Montana, group behind the initiatives CI-118 and I-190. The initiatives to legalize, tax, and regulate recreational marijuana in Montana. BBER does not endorse or oppose any ballot initiatives, including the marijuana initiatives. The report authors have said exists to answer the financial what-if questions that arise from the potential implementation. Our independent research utilized the extensive survey-based data that is publicly available, detailing the frequency of cannabis use of both Montana residents and visitors to give us a good understanding of potential tax revenue on legalized retail marijuana cannabis sales, Barkley said in the news release. The two initiatives would set the minimum age for buying marijuana cannabis at 21 and would set the tax rate for marijuana cannabis purchases at 20%. That 20% tax is what could bring in millions of dollars in tax revenue, potentially even more than tax on alcohol. the BBER assessed the way recreational marijuana markets began and evolved in states that have legalized to inform the report. It also used information from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health to predict how many people, both residents and tourists, would be potential customers of recreational marijuana cannabis. According to the NSDUH, adults in Montana use marijuana cannabis recreationally at slightly higher rates than adults nationwide. Its 2017-2018 survey, 14.3% of Montanans over 21 said they use marijuana in the past 30 days. That's higher than the national rate of 9.8% compared to 14.3%. These figures don't differentiate between medical marijuana, which is legal in the state and has grown exponentially since 2016, and recreational marijuana, which is not legal. Medical marijuana has a 4% tax, which is expected to drop to 2% in 2021. The report found that more than 15% of adult tourists are likely to visit dispensaries when visiting states with legal recreational cannabis sales. The legalization of recreational marijuana in Montana could also support other adjacent industries like marijuana cooking classes and weed-friendly bed and breakfasts, as it did in states like Colorado,
California.
To see what else is happening in Gallatin County, subscribe to the online paper, written by Melissa Loveridge. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, we've got from kpax.com another deep review into Montana. Let's see if it, you know, this is the same one. Here we go. Oh no, this is way deep. This goes into the initiatives. Okay, here we go. From kpax.com, we're just going to cut to the beef. For Montana, Constitutional Initiative number 118, a constitutional amendment proposed by initiative petition. Under the Montana Constitution, a person 18 years of age or older is an adult, except that the legislature or the people by initiative may establish the legal age of consuming or possessing alcoholic beverages. CI 118 amends the Montana Constitution to allow the legislature or the people by initiative to establish the legal age for purchasing, consuming, or possessing marijuana. Next initiative, Initiative 190 in Montana, a law proposed by initiative petition legalizes the possession and use of limited amounts of marijuana for adults over the age of 21, I-190 requires the Department of Revenue to license and regulate the cultivation, transportation, and sale of marijuana and marijuana-infused products, and to inspect premises where marijuana is cultivated and sold. It requires licensed laboratories to test marijuana and marijuana-infused products for potency and contaminants. I-90 establishes a 20% tax on non-medical marijuana, 10.5% of the tax revenue goes to the state general fund, with the rest dedicated to accounts for conservation programs, substance abuse treatment, veteran services, healthcare costs, and localities where marijuana is sold. I-190 allows a person currently serving a sentence for an act permitted by I-190 to apply for resentencing or an expungement of the conviction. I-190 prohibits advertising of marijuana and related products. Marijuana taxes and fees will generate about $48 million annually by 2025. Marijuana fees will fund program administration and enforcement. Marijuana taxes will contribute to the general fund and special revenue accounts for conservation, veteran services, substance abuse treatment, health care, and local governments. The general fund will net $4 million. Okay, beautiful. Okay, next from the Wall Street Journal, the WSJ, New Jersey voters set to decide on legalizing marijuana. New Jersey could soon become the 12th state, along with Washington, D.C., to legalize recreational marijuana. A medical marijuana dispensary. Township, New Jersey. New Jersey voters will decide whether to legalize recreational marijuana next month after the Democratic-led state legislature fell short of enough votes to get it done. The ballot measure, if passed, would amend the state constitution to allow people ages 21 and older to use marijuana. It would also allow the state to establish a regulated market to grow, distribute, and sell the drug. All registered voters will be sent ballots this month. They can either mail in or drop off. If the measure is approved, New Jersey would become the 12th state in the United States, along with Washington, D.C., to legalize marijuana for recreational purposes. Oh, it says that there is no early in-person voting in New Jersey. Didn't know there was anywhere. To legalize marijuana for recreational purposes, the state has already legalized medical marijuana. The ballot question became the fallback option for advocates of legalization after legalization stalled in Trenton. The New Jersey Senate, controlled by Democrats, scuttled a scheduled vote on a bill legalizing the plant in 2019 after lawmakers failed to secure enough support to pass it. The Democratic-led state assembly also demurred when it became clear that there was no path to approval in the Senate. Axel Owen, the campaigner manager for NJCan 2020, says the legislature couldn't get it done. It's time for us to turn the page and end the prohibition on cannabis. He is part of a coalition of groups that advocate for marijuana legalization. About 6 out of 10 residents in the state support legalizing the drug. This, according to two polls from the Monmouth University Polling Institute, conducted in 2018 and 2019. The NJCan 2020 has launched a digital advertising campaign to make sure the ballot question remains on voters' radar. Coalition members, including the American Civil Liberties Union of New Jersey and the NAACP New Jersey State Conference, said legalizing marijuana would help end racial disparities in the enforcement of drug laws and can produce new tax revenues for the state. The proposal faces GOP resistance. The New Jersey Republican County Chairman's Association passed a resolution opposing the ballot measure last month. Jose Arango, chairman of the Republican Party in Hudson County and leader of the county association, said large corporations would control the marijuana market if the measure passed. He predicted a black market for the drug would continue, selling it at prices lower than those the legally produced product. He also noted that if the measure is approved, lawmakers would still have to pass legislation to regulate the marijuana market. Arango says, when you do it through an amendment to the Constitution, you open a Pandora's box if you don't have the regulations in place. While legislation advocates expect the public to approve the ballot measure, concerns remain that problems might emerge during the election set, held largely by mail. Amid the pandemic, Democratic Governor Phil Murphy signed an executive order requiring officials to send ballots to the state's more than 6 million voters. Quoted, Amol Sinha, Executive Director of the ACLU of New Jersey. I want to manage expectations here. There is obviously strong support for legalization, but all the hiccups we see in a normal election are going to be amplified here. Mr. Sinha said he is worried that some voters unaccustomed to voting by mail could make minor mistakes that result in their votes not counting. Another concern is that the measure will appear on the back of many voters' ballots. Some voters might make their selection for the president without noticing the question on the reverse side. The ballot measure would make marijuana subject to the state's 6.625 sales tax. State lawmakers would be allowed to authorize local governments to collect an additional 2% sales tax on marijuana. If the public approves the measure, it isn't known how quickly the program could get up and running. In addition to the need for more legislation, it would take time to develop the market before sales could begin. Oh, nice. This is great, Montana. Okay. Colorado. And then New Jersey. This is New Jersey. And then, okay. Next on Smoke News Radio, with organized by Awesome Monkeys and Ferrets, who all have a side job like running cables for the space shuttle, found me the article, GreatFallsTribune.com. Great Falls Tribune. Oh, wait, that's just Montana again. Oh, there's a lot of good stuff. I mean, sometimes there's everything's happening one day, nothing's happening the other day. Okay, from the ChicagoTribune.com Action Karate Ninja News, we've got Illinois collected $19.3 million in tax revenue during August on recreational marijuana sales, up 38% from July, according to the Illinois Department of Revenue. Illinois collected since recreational weed became legal in January, the state has collected a total of $86 million in taxes. Marijuana taxes vary by product and by the concentration of THC, the ingredient that gets users high, which is displayed on the packaging. Okay. Next fun from marijuanamoment.net. California grant program uses marijuana tax revenue to help people harmed by war on drugs. Mr. Yeager, Kyle Yeager, threw this down for the moment. They got a lot of good things at Marijuana Moment. You guys got to check them. They should be doing their own constant thing, but you got to mix it up. A lot of different news sources are really important. Next, the governor of Vermont again deflected a question about whether he intends to sign a bill to legalize marijuana sales in the state, suggesting that new racial justice concerns could lead him to veto it and make the legislature take the issue up anew during the next session that begins in January. During a debate with his challenger, this is, okay, it says Vermont. I'll let you know when I see California. Sometimes, you know, cut and paste, you know, puts articles and titles just around. So during the debate, his challenger, Lieutenant Governor David Zuckerman, on Thursday, and Governor Phil Scott said that he needs time to reflect on concerns expressed by certain racial justice groups who are urging him to veto the tax and regulate bill that officially arrived on his desk earlier that day. The governor of Vermont has until Wednesday to sign or veto the legislation. And if he takes no action, then it will become law without his signature. All right. Smoke News Radio. Sometimes I'm just trying to grab the articles, man. My life does not revolve around broadcasting news stuff. I'm really trying to grab some good stuff I could find. Some stuff, it's got a lot of opinion in it. So I'm like, hold on. So I'm just trying to bring the news. What's really happening, people? Okay. Some more information from New Jersey, from NorthJersey.com. Patterson considers city tax on medical and, if approved in New Jersey, recreational marijuana. This was written by Joe Melanconico. Cool, I think I got that right. Okay, Patterson. City officials are getting ready to start collecting taxes on medical marijuana sold at the cannabis dispensary that opened on Route 20 last December. The business has been making about $500,000 in monthly sales. City officials said the maximum 2% transfer tax allowed under the state law would generate about $120,000 for the city over the course of a year, the officials say. Several council members said they expect Patterson to reap a greater financial benefit from the facility during a discussion of the marijuana tax of the governing body's meeting on Tuesday night. Other officials said recreational marijuana dispensaries, if the New Jersey's legislature approves their operation in the state, would generate more money in taxes. New Jersey legal weed, every month's advertisement. The council is scheduled to take a preliminary vote on the new tax on Tuesday night and must hold a public hearing after that before enacting the measure. Council President Flavio Rivera questioned why administrative officials have waited more than 9 months after the opening of the dispensary before proposing the tax. Rivera said the city had lost out on tens of thousands of dollars in revenue. The Economic Development Director, Michael Powell, blamed the delay on disruptions caused by the pandemic. The marijuana tax imposed by the city would be in addition to regular state sales taxes, according to the proposed ordinance. Okay, next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brutsky. We've got from MarijuanaMoment.com, IRS releases tax guidance for marijuana industry. All right. That is not the article. It's there somewhere. Next, from SouthSeattleEmerald.com, King County Sheriff's email to KCSO employees claims she wasn't consulted about shifting marijuana tax revenue. In an internal email sent to the King County Sheriff's Office in Seattle employees last week, Sheriff Mitzi Johan Kent said that King County's executive Dow Constantine did not speak with her about his proposal to shift $4.6 million in marijuana tax revenue from the Sheriff's Department to the community-based programs. In the email sent shortly after the King County's executive Dow Constantine announced his budget proposals for the 2021-22 fiscal year on September 16th. Johan Kent said that this revenue shift proposal is not a foregone conclusion, but also characterizes the amount of money in terms of how many deputies $4.6 million would pay for, about 30 to be exact. The KCSO began receiving the marijuana tax revenue in 2016. Constantine's proposed budget would use $2.8 million of the $4.6 million in marijuana tax revenue for a program to help individuals vacate convictions of marijuana-related offenses that are no longer illegal and settle unpaid court fines, fees, and restitution that could lead to incarceration. Another $1.35 million would go towards the Department of Local Services for programs co-created with residents in the unincorporated area, including youth marijuana prevention and employment programs. The rest, $450,000, would be used to create, quote, a community-centered advisory board that would determine how to spend marijuana taxes in future years. In a brief statement emailed to Emerald, King County Executive's Office Director of Communications, Alex Fryer, said, quote, the CUE recession, along with the need to fundamentally transform our criminal legal system, created necessary budget reductions for the King County Sheriff's Office. They were consulted on both fronts prior to September 16th's announcement. Suggesting anything else is inaccurate. However, he did not respond specifically to whether Constantine discussed this proposal to shift this source of funding from the KSCO to community programs, nor did he respond to the Emerald's follow-up questions via email or phone call. But regardless of whether Constantine consulted with Johan Kent on this specific funding shift, King County Council member Rod Dombowski said that the sheriff's email to the KCSO employees missed the point. Not only does the funding shift not necessarily mean that the KCSO will lose $4.6 million in funding from marijuana taxes, which Johan Kent's email fails to directly note, marijuana tax revenue shouldn't be funding law enforcement in the first place. To begin with, though, Johan Kent's email says that Constantine's budget announcement is just the first step in the biennial budget process, where the executive provides a budget to the King County Council, who final budgetary decisions. It does not state directly that this revenue could end up coming from elsewhere. If King County Council so chooses, Dembowski also said that $4.6 million in marijuana tax revenue is a tiny bit of a much larger budget. There's a $400 million plus in total revenue from the budget sources, and the KCC could say, well, we're going to add it to the general fund or another revenue source. But also added, there aren't unlimited sources for funding that the KCC would have to prioritize funding. Okay. If I can't understand it while I'm reading it, I can't read it to you in a way that you'll understand it. Basically, they don't spend it on the cops, these guys are saying. Have a larger budget. You don't get our marijuana tax money. Okay, next. Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, from 247waltzst.com. $9.3 billion in legal sales of marijuana at stake in November elections. Written by Paul Osick, October. First year revenue totaling an estimated $9.3 billion is at stake when voters go to the poll in five states next month to decide whether or not to legalize possession and consumption of marijuana for medicinal or recreational use. According to Jada de Carcer, CEO of cannabis industry market firm New Frontier Data, this year's elections could be among the most consequential and historic events to change the landscape of the legal United States cannabis industry. In all five ballot measures are adopted, 38 states will have approved the sale of medicinal or recreational marijuana. New Frontier Data estimates that the revenues from these five states could lift the national total for the 38 states to $35.1 billion by 2025. Voters in four states, Arizona, Mississippi, Montana, New Jersey, will decide on measures approving legal possession and use of marijuana, either medicinal or recreational purposes, while South Dakota voters will decide on two measures, one approving recreational use and one approving medicinal use. Here's our review on the ballot measures in each state. Arizona, first year recreational marijuana sales are projected to reach $400 million and sales are forecast to hit $1 billion by 2025. The current population of Arizona is 7.3 million. A state sales tax of 5.6 plus local taxes would be supplemented by a 16% excise tax on sale of marijuana cannabis products. Revenue to the state would total about $86 million in the first year of legal marijuana sales. In Mississippi, the state's voters are considering different measures that are both limited to the sale of medical marijuana. If either passes, first-year revenues are estimated at $6 million, and 2025 sales would reach $66 million. Tax revenues were not estimated. Mississippi is home to 2.9 million people. Montana. The state has two ballot measures related to recreational sales of marijuana. If both pass, Montana's first-year sales are projected to reach $56 million, rising to $175 million by 2025. Consumers would pay a 20% state tax. And by the way, Montana has no sales tax. First year revenue to the state would be around $12 million. In New Jersey, sales in the state are forecast to reach $773 million in the first year and rise to $1.8 billion by 2025. New Jersey's population is 8.9 million, and about 1 million are estimated to be customers for legal marijuana. A state sales tax of 6.625% and up to a 2% additional local sales tax would apply. At the maximum rate, first year tax revenue would total $6.7 million. And finally, in South Dakota, with just under 885,000 residents, South Dakota is the smallest state voting on marijuana legislation this year. The estimate of first-year revenue for recreational marijuana sales is $41.3 million. And 2025 sales are expected to reach nearly $123 million. First-year sales of medical marijuana are estimated at $1.8 billion, growing to $1.8 million. they wrote billion, but it's got to be million. $0.6 million in 2025. The state would tax recreational cannabis sales at 15%, raising about $6.2 million in tax revenue. Thank you. You guys are listening to Smoke News Radio with your host Jason Brodsky, and we've got from the Sacramento Bee, the SacBee.com, from California marijuana taxes won't go up for a year under new bill signed by Governor Gavin Newsom, written by Christina Reyes, titled "Uniting States of Marijuana, the Nation's Evolving Laws on Cannabis Segments." The November 2016 election brought about new rules on the use of recreational and medical marijuana in several states, with more than half, including California, now allowing for the latter. Federal government leaders, federal government leaders, including President Trump. The California cannabis industry is getting a bit of tax break courtesy of the California legislature. Governor Gavin Newsom, people that read your news on TV, they have a whole crew of people that help them. I can only help myself and throw it together quick. I mean, the whole camera is on an olive oil bottle. Just as I nudge everything, the whole thing moves. So we're trying to Instagram and blog talk it and reposting high quality. So please just follow with me. We're working it. I'm working it. Okay. Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill late last week into law that prohibits the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration from adjusting the cannabis excise tax markup amount until July 1st, 2021. The bill also prohibits the cultivation tax rates for the 2021 calendar year from being adjusted for inflation unless that adjustment would result in an inflation rate less than zero. Jared Colquhoun, president of the United Cannabis Business Association, said the bill gives businesses in the cannabis industry an opportunity to really kind of establish our budgets. How's a dude get the last name Kilo? Come on. Cannabis companies need a way to find what they are budgeting for. The bill gives the, I really don't think that's his real name. Would you want a pound? You want a kilo? I mean, it's hard to take it seriously. I'm sorry. Everybody, but you're doing great. Here we go, Jason. Keep going. This bill gives the industry effectively a one-year outlook. Quotes, it will give us the ability to understand what our tax liabilities will be like for the next 12 months with no adjustments. That's what every business needs to know. What are my costs? Californians in 2016 voted to legalize recreational marijuana, and retail stores have been open since 2018. The industry still competes with the black market and has asked lawmakers for tax relief. Though Kilo's group has lobbied for more legislative fixes for the cannabis industry, he said that freezing the tax rate, quote, is as good a thing as we're going to get in the current budgetary crisis we have. Okay, next from kilo.org. Go, bro. I mean, that's just like, I'm broadcasting, apparently, right? Next, Madera Tribune. We've got council votes to put marijuana tax on November ballot. A measure to establish a cannabis business license tax in Madera is headed for the November ballot. The tax would not be collected, however, unless the council in the future agreed to legalize marijuana business in the city. Madera City Council voted 5-2 on July 15th to place the measure on the ballot and give voters the chance to decide on enacting the tax. However, Madera does not currently permit cannabis businesses, meaning the tax would not have any effect unless the city council decided to legalize marijuana businesses in the future. The measure will require a majority vote to pass in November. California voters approved Proposition 64 in November 2016, which legalized the use of recreational marijuana. Shortly following that, the state legislature passed the Medicinal and Adult Use Cannabis Regulation and Safety Act, which created a licensing and regulatory framework allowing cities to tax marijuana businesses. Oh, that's a very complicated thing they threw at this. Go. In May, the city council got the ball rolling by beginning to explore a potential marijuana tax ordinance, which came to fruition at the July 15th meeting. If the measure passes, the maximum amounts the city could tax marijuana businesses that aren't yet legal or on the ballot are as follows: $10 per canopy square foot of cultivation, 6% of gross receipts for retail businesses, 4% for all other cannabis business activities. The city projects the tax would generate about $720,000 to $1.08 million annually for the general fund once all businesses have been operating for a year. Estimates for the cost of placing the measure on the ballot are between $90,000 and $100,000. The ballot measure language will read, quote, "Shall the measure which would tax cannabis and hemp businesses if city permits and regulates such businesses at annual rates not to exceed $10 per canopy square foot for cultivation, 6% gross receipts for retail businesses, and 4% for all other such businesses, which is projected to generate $720,000 to $1 million annually with inflation adjusted and continue in effect until terminated by city voters with funds generated used for general fund purposes be adopted." See that in one breath. Oh my gosh. Okay, so basically they want to say, hey, do you vote on a tax? There's no like marijuana initiative out there, but if we were selling it, is it okay if we charge you $10 a square foot on top of whatever rent you're paying a square foot? Next, from BS Tech, from BlackHillsFox.com, Amendment A, legalize and regulate tax marijuana, South Dakota, Rapid City. If passed, this amendment to South Dakota Constitution will legalize, regulate, and tax marijuana. Campaign manager from the amendment, Dre Samuelson, says it will help South Dakotans gain access to medical marijuana and let anyone over 21 purchase no more than 1 ounce of marijuana. Samuelson says this amendment would also require the legislature to pass laws by 2022 regulating the cultivation, processing, and sale of hemp. And that's not all. Samuelson says it will create a system to license and regulate marijuana businesses, and it will establish a 15% tax on marijuana sales to adults who are not patients. According to the South Dakota Legislative Research Council, passing this amendment could generate $60 million in total tax revenue by 2024 and close to 250 million by 2030. Samuelson says this will help bring in more tourism, which brings in more money into the economy. Law enforcement will be able to focus on more dangerous crimes while also freeing up the courts, jails, and prisons, and even go towards education. Quotes, in the initiative, it mandates that 50% of the money go to our public schools, and then 50% of the money of the revenue generated would go to the state's general fund, which could be used for whatever the legislative chose to use it for. They could reduce our taxes. They could improve our highways. The opportunities for that money would be limitless, says Samuelson. This amendment and Measure 26 on the ballot work together, and Samuelson says both need to pass to successfully move forward. And then Vermont, Montpelier from AP News. Governor Phil Scott has made roadside testing a condition for signing a bill. The bill establishes a 14% excise tax on cannabis products. Of that, 30% is earmarked for substance abuse prevention. The bill also extends the 6% sales tax to cannabis products. The possession of small amounts of recreational marijuana was legalized in Vermont in 2018, but there has been no way to buy or sell it legally or tax sales. And this was the Vermont House of Representatives approved a deal on a bill that allowed for the legal sale. And the House vote 92-56. All right. Reported by Bennington Banner. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Smoke News Radio. It's fun. You know, it's difficult to like read stuff that you're like, oh my gosh, they're so silly. You know, it's all a plant. People, it's a plant. Everything should be a plant. Hi. You like a plant. Hi. You like some broccoli. I smoke a broccoli with Jack Johnson. Take it away. Jason Brodsky, Smoke News Radio. Have a beautiful, beautiful night. Thank you for listening.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the terrible sight. Well, Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullaby.
On the news. 90 seconds.
Who's the one to decide that it would be all right to put the music behind the news tonight? Well, Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so
60
unfair,
seconds.
So baby, close your ears. On the news tonight. On the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. The mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. But Mama said, it's just
just make believe. 10 seconds.
You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies.